and I still...
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud to call the special committee of the whole meeting to order and kindly ask the recording secretary, Mary McKittrick, to have the minutes reflect that all the council members slash committee members are present. Item of business, we have one, but first, prior to conducting that item of business, I'd like to ask for a motion to suspend the rules.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Maladra, seconded by Mr. Piper Hill. Mr. Hill. This is hard, Don. Those two look just alike. And the Hill's better looking.
Agreed.
Seconded by Hill.
Yeah.
All in favor, please say aye.
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 Great. Anyone opposed? Ladies and gentlemen of the media, ladies and gentlemen watching at home, members of the committee, it is statutorily authorized by me as your mayor to call a special meeting at any time and, quite frankly, for any reason. I've called a meeting tonight to discuss item 2A, practices, procedures, and self-evaluation discussion of city government. Let it be known that this is not a result of last week's Kevin Burns getting his Irish up, although I do want to apologize to the committee members, certainly apologize to Alderman Pawlak, those watching at home who know that I can do better and I should have done better. So that won't happen again. I am a proud fan of the sentiment that instead of raising your voice, you should reinforce your argument, and I failed in that regard. And again, won't happen again. However, there seems to be, in my own opinion, some discontent, if you will, amongst the council, amongst the committee, and perhaps between the council and the staff. And I think it's important that we repeat the performance and perhaps the conversation held several months ago when we held a similar special committee of the whole meeting, but last time held it at the fire station because this room, I think, was being used. And also that we do so in the spirit of transparency with respect to if we're to address policies under the Klieg lights of television and with official minutes being recorded, we should also address perhaps practices, procedures, maybe even personalities moving forward. We are a team of nearly 280 strong. We always have been a team. I think we still are a team, but sometimes even teams need to get together and say, how can we do better? So tonight is the very reason why I call the meeting, is to discuss exactly how we can move forward with respect to how we conduct ourselves in public, how we perhaps conduct ourselves in private, how we and what we expect of our professional staff, what perhaps they expect of us, how we should ask questions of our staff, for what purpose are we asking those questions, and perhaps put us in the shoes of those watching at home wondering, are we really doing the people's business or are we just up here kind of doing what we feel like doing? So with that, I'll open it up to the floor. There are no rules, so ladies and gentlemen, have at it. Just keep in mind that the television cameras are rolling, and this is being recorded.
Can I dive in? I just start? Cool. Okay, so when we met at the fire station, I finished by reading some prepared comments that I saved till the end. So tonight I thought I would lead off with them and see how it goes. The mayor indicated that we're addressing behavior at our meetings as well as behavior publicly. So what I want to comment on is behavior at city council meetings and committee of the whole meetings. I'm growing frustrated by some of the behavior that I've seen increasingly at these meetings. This behavior runs counter to something that I consider to be one of Geneva's best characteristics, the way we build strong partnerships. For as long as I've been involved in the city, which is going back to 1996, the community has shown its wisdom through its willingness to work together. Administration with council, administration with staff, council with staff, everybody with appointed boards and residents. This inclusion is necessary to maintain the strength of any community. Lately, however, certain behavior at our meetings indicates to me that there may be others who don't value partnership as highly as I do. Going back at least a year, I think we can all count different times when we've witnessed public posturing in which questions are merely barbs designed to embarrass people. Some may say that the line of question is intended to gain understanding of the issues. However, the tone, the sarcasm, and the badgering would indicate otherwise. There are better ways to gain understanding than by belittling people. Perhaps the purpose is to impart understanding. I think if that's the case, this purpose would be better served if not accompanied by implications that those who disagree or don't understand are somehow incompetent, dishonest, lazy, or some combination of the three. Personally, I worry that people are bringing private issues into public meetings. This is unacceptable and counterproductive. Egos, personal issues must be checked at the door. This is no place for people who have an axe to grind. 7 years ago, when I was elected to the council, I joined an organization that was respectful of each other, that recognized a staff of dedicated professionals, that appreciated the activism of our residents, and that listened calmly to anyone who took the time to come to a meeting. I don't see that so much today. Today we have some who portray staff as somehow working against the best interests of the community and who show visible disdain for the comments of fellow council members. What's changed? I think it's the pressure of the times. The economy has presented challenges for businesses, for residents, and yes, for this municipality as well. Our work has become more difficult and more complicated than it was 7 years ago. Well, folks, we're all in this together. And we're only going to get through it successfully if we work together. Partnership has been key to our success so far, and it'll be indispensable going forward. So what I would ask, as we look at our conduct, is if there is anybody here who feels that they cannot work respectfully and cooperatively with residents, with staff, with administration, and fellow council members, then they should speak now. If somebody has a concern about anyone with whom we work and can back it with facts, then they should state so plainly rather than implying it with sarcastic comments. Otherwise, I would ask that we get back to working as partners, as we used to, and focus on keeping Geneva a great place to live, work, and raise a family. If you want these, I'll turn them in. If you don't, I'll just pitch.
Without objection, we'll include those in the formal minutes. There are no rules, so.
So that's the way I've been.
This could be the most boring television show ever broadcast, except for Lost and.
And then when I was 12, I got hit right.
You know, oftentimes I am asked by members of the community, what really happens behind the scenes? You know, we see you guys on TV once a week, and it appears that everything is pretty honky-dory, but sometimes there's some tumult. But people don't understand the content of that tumult. And I try to share with people best I can without sharing any sort of privacy issues that there's a heck of a lot of work that goes on between council meetings or committee meetings. In fact, the majority of the work actually happens between those time frames. But I do get upset when people claim that this council or this committee simply acts as a rubber stamp to whatever professional staff provide us. Because that's just not the case. That's not the case at all. I also get concerned that perhaps some of us feel that the more often we are unanimous or the more often that we support professional staff's recommendations, we appear to be, again, rubber stamping. Simply not the case. When anybody and anyone runs for office, it's not simply to appear here on live television Monday nights at 7 o'clock. It's to do the 30-plus hours of work per week prior to appearing here live on television at 7 o'clock. It's not pleasant work sometimes. It's extraordinarily demanding. It takes away from your families, your friends, your other social obligations. But it's what we signed up for. So I don't do it perfectly. Never have. Never will. I can guarantee you two things. I'll continue to make mistakes. I'll continue to stumble. And hopefully I'll maybe mature enough to recognize exactly when I do both. So
I think part of it is we've gotten away from what we're here for. We're legislators, and I think people don't understand that. We're only here 4 times a month. We're not here all the time. We're not here to micromanage. if we didn't trust what Mary's doing or what the department heads are doing, we shouldn't put them in positions to be here. I mean, let's talk. I appreciate your apology, and I didn't really need it. I honestly didn't think it was that big a deal, and to say it's not going to happen again, you're a liar. It'll happen again. Sure, it'll happen
again. It'll happen when the microphones are off.
But you know what? If it didn't, you wouldn't be doing your job, and we wouldn't be doing ours. We can disagree. We should disagree.
Absolutely.
That's why we're here. Let's get 10 different opinions. We are a cross section of the community. That's what we are. We're 10 different people from 10 different backgrounds with 10 different opinions who should come in here and be able to change each other's minds and kind of come up with what's going on. Let's talk it out. Let's see what Craig thinks and what Rich thinks and what Dawn thinks and let's see what we can come up with. But even with what happened last week, I guess there was a huge understanding or misunderstanding that I think we should talk about the elephant room with the raises. I don't understand. I don't understand the question. Is the question what's we approved $258,000 and what's left over, or who got what? I don't know who got what. I don't even know. Is it the union people, the non-union people? This guy got one, this guy got two. Who cares? I don't do the reviews. If I got that information, I couldn't explain it because I don't do their reviews. So why would we need it? So my 14-year-old was here. So to get in the car with him and him to say, why would you need it? I don't know. I couldn't explain it to him anyway. I couldn't explain it to my neighbor if he asked me. No one's ever bothered to ask me. So do I understand the frustration? Sure, I understand the frustration. Is the valid question, do we have money left over? Absolutely. Very easily answered. I don't even know what the question was, to be honest with you. I don't know. A couple of different questions got asked. Everybody got all excited, and the meeting was over. I don't even know what was asked. At the end of the day, I don't even care. It's over. Work it out offline. You know? But I think we forget why we're here. I think we forget we're just legislators. That's all we're really here to do. To me, that borders on micromanaging. When we get to that point, we get down to who specifically got what. That's micromanaging. But I don't know. I don't even necessarily know if that was the question. Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't. But if it was, that's not why we're here. The grand total, that was why. It was $258,000. We did that. We went through that dance. I don't know. Maybe that's. To me, that's forgetting. To me, that's a different job description.
Policymaker instead of department head.
What's that?
We're policymakers, not department.
Not department heads. I couldn't tell you what department heads do. I like to be a department head. Damn chief won't give me a gun. We keep having this discussion.
That's because we voted.
I know.
Mr. Mayor, has the administration at any time consider the prospect of developing a form of an internship as such, particularly for the new councilmen that come aboard? I recall when I first took my seat, and even prior to that, coming into City Hall, and I wasn't even aware of my needs at that point in time, as to being here to obtain volumes of materials which I was expected to digest, of which I had no true concept of. All right, now I'm elected to my position, and I'm still being inundated with the volumes of materials, which hopefully I'm beginning to have a better concept of as to how I should proceed through the process. I'm wondering I often feel so sorry for Alderman Marks and Dantina coming Thank aboard you. Now for, you're here for a year, and I'm wondering if you're still somewhat wallowing in the ocean bed here somewhere as to just a direction that one should be taking, particularly when it comes to a matter of what I might refer to as an old Army term, a chain of commands. You know, I've always felt comfortable with dealing with the public works people and suggesting, or shall we say, inundating ideas, or shall I say, asking for direction from them and directing my remarks totally right to them. I don't think it's essential that I have to go through the mayor or through Mary McKittrich for them to carry my burdens to the departments. I feel more comfortable in that direct relationship, and I feel they feel comfortable with me when I make that approach. And if there's any time where I have taken a step that I'm really not should have been taken, I hope that they will refer to me and say, Ron, you're going in the wrong direction. And I would appreciate that tremendously. I truly would. But my wondering here is I indicated this, an internship of some nature as the alderman come into existence, that maybe a week or 10 days or 2 weeks, have them come in, meet the department chair people, sitting down, and getting an idea that if you have an issue, whom do you respond to? Whom do you go to regarding a need for an answer to your questions? And that, I think, could ease a lot of the pain that sometimes one might have as to getting a certain direction at hand. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I'd like to, if no one objects, I'd like to turn the floor over to City Administrator McKittrich, who I think can touch upon the, what I think lack of better term, is new elected officials orientation program that is conducted under your tutelage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, we instituted a newly elected officials orientation program several years ago. It's taken different formats. When we have newly elected officials, offer to schedule meetings or provide them with contact information so that they can schedule meetings at their convenience with the department heads. At times, we've held a meeting where the department heads have come in and sat down. In fact, I think Mayor was a participant in one of those where the department heads came in one at a time and gave an overview of their particular department. In addition to that, that offer that we make to all newly elected officials every 2 years, we also, through Metro West, have a newly elected officials orientation program. And this past summer, I also taught a class at Waubonsie, an 8-week class, Leadership for Newly Elected Officials, which both of our new aldermen as of last year took that 8-week course.
Well, that's interesting. I was not aware of that. And I commend you in taking that direction. I think it's I think it was a great step, a good step forward. Thank you for that.
Mr. Mayor, if I may speak up. When I joined the council, new council members learned through the committee process. Committee meetings around the table with a department head were very instructive, very Socratic. You learn by listening to other people's questions, and you learn why they don't quite understand. Although I agree with Alderman Piper entirely that this is a policy-making board, we should only make policy. We should not be trying to run the departments. It is necessary in order to make good policy that you have a basic understanding of what the department heads and what departments do. And one does have to learn that. The average citizen has no idea what goes on underneath the streets of our city or behind the doors of our various city departments. And we have to, at some point, have a basic understanding of that. Now, the mayor and I disagree with it on this whole issue of committee meetings. But that was how I learned. I learned at committee meetings when I sat with two or three other aldermen, typically, and listened to their questions and made my own questions, and the department head could sit there and we could have a true discussion of what was going on. I learned. Under the present system, the committee of the whole does not fulfill that function. The committee of the whole system is very formal. You don't get a chance to actually go into in-depth questions on things that you yourself might think silly and don't want to bring up in front of television. It's just a slightly different. What I've had to do is learn how to read the packets more carefully, learn how to ask department heads questions in between, go into the internet, Google things myself to find out. So there is a difference. And I'm finding it, honestly, and I'll tell the mayor this, I still find it a little more difficult to understand exactly what's behind the policies that we're asked to make, because I don't have the committee structure to sit there and on a friendly one-on-one around, we sat around an oval table to ask department heads to respond to my silly questions and to listen to the silly questions of the aldermen on each side and realize that they understand it better than I do, or they understand it differently than I do, and that was very important. So it is a different structure today, and I don't think we want to go back to the committee system. I know the arguments against it. It takes time out for the poor committee staff. They have more meetings to attend each month. It takes time out for the younger aldermen who have families to worry about at home. But I'm one of these people in my life who's fairly busy, like many of you, and I respond only to interrupts. And having an interrupt a couple of Tuesdays a month to go and sit down and study the finance department — I was chairman of the finance committee — or to study the public utilities, because I was on the public utility committee, that to me was the best way to learn. And I think it's different today, and we have to come up. Unfortunately, we have to study things. Maybe Mary has some good suggestions with some of the things she tried, but it is completely different than the committee system that used to. And I don't know about other people who were on the council while the committee structure existed, but I certainly found that was by far the best way for me to learn about the various city workings, so that I could at least think about the policy based on a fundamental knowledge of what the departments did. Thank you.
If I could chime in, I, too, that's the way I learned. I attended different committee meetings and even chaired utility, and I got to know a lot about public works and the workings and all that kind of good stuff. And I think that there was a little bit more one-on-one when you're a committee, when you're head of the committee of a certain utility or development. When I was co-chair of development, I got to learn a lot more because I interacted with staff a lot more. Before meetings, we discussed things. It was a little bit more laid back. It was very helpful. I think that we missed that interaction. Maybe Ron Singer has enough time to go over to Public Works and talk to staff. I, for some strange reason, don't do it anymore. I used to come and go to all the departments and at least, you know, find out what's going on. I even tried to I had a good mentor. I had Roger Morris, who mentored me, and he was tremendous. He told me the rules. He guided me. He introduced me to people. It was very helpful. I agree with Alderman. Let me just say, I don't think we're truly policymakers, because when we sit here discussing windows or development issues, for instance, today, you know, that's not policy. We're not sitting there talking about policy. We're sitting there talking about a development, or we're sitting there talking about historic windows. So, you know, even though we may be policymakers according to what we all think we are, we still end up talking about different issues, mm-hmm. you know, and different departments, development, economic, you name it, and we go right into what we're doing, you know. We have to learn what each department is doing. And I think that we're losing a lot of that one-on-one with the departments. I personally sometimes don't have time on a Monday morning. If I'm reading my packet on a Sunday, I'm certainly not going to call staff up on Sunday afternoon. And I'll try desperately to call staff up on Monday, but if I get knee-deep in whatever I'm doing at work, there is no way in God's heck that I'm going to be able to do that. So we miss that. There's an element that we're missing somewhere, and I agree with Alderman Brown, and I think that we at one time had even these classes where people didn't have to go off campus, so to say. We used to have orientation here at City Hall. We do? Okay. Because, see, I'm not privy to that because I'm not new. I'm old.
I was here on a Friday and toured every department.
Good.
Almost every department. I think I didn't make it to the fire department that day.
And I believe that every alderman should work alongside Public Works, or alongside the fire department, or alongside the water department. That's how I learned. I took every opportunity, but I took every opportunity to do whatever it needed to be done. The only thing I didn't do was actually to go out on a water main break. But I've asked, but apparently I remember Hal Wright telling me, "Are you sure you want me to call me up at 2 o'clock in the morning to take me out for an electric, you know, power outage?" I says, "Yep, call me up," and I went. And so I think it's really important that if you're sitting here making policy, or if you're sitting here talking to staff, walk in their shoes.
You know, I found something to be very useful and available to the point where when I drive around my ward, and even if I'm not in my ward and I see some of the public works people out there working on the project, I'll stop by and go over and talk to them. And it's surprising how many of them know who you are, which sort of frightens me to a certain extent, but that's very nice. Yeah.
That's your picture in the hall.
Is that what it is? Okay. But, you know, you can stand there and you can talk to them and say, you know, what's going on? What are you guys doing? And they'll explain the project to you, you know, and you say, oh, that's pretty neat. And, you know, how are you going about doing whatever you're going to be doing? And they take the patience and have you understand what it is they're up to. But I think that kind of, you know, I feel so comfortable with what I do. And I feel so comfortable with the council members and with the administration and with the Public Works Department. I think of this community as my family. You are all my family. And that's how I like to treat you. And I think that's how I'm being treated. And I really appreciate that.
And every family has a little bit of dysfunction.
Yes, they do.
And tonight we're here to talk about the dysfunction, either real or perceived.
Up what you said, Dorothy, about, you know, if you want to know what staff does, walk in their shoes or whatever. That I think that's where I feel uncomfortable. I know myself, I don't like tension, so I don't like a lot of discord. But I also feel like sometimes we forget, because we are policymakers and budget makers, that we're talking about, let's say, because this is when I feel like things start to fall off track, when we were doing the budget. So we're talking about the budget and as a policy, something intangible to us, but we are talking about people's livelihood, vocation, the love of their life. So I feel like sometimes we're so far removed that we start saying things that, in my opinion, are getting too personal. Too personal if people deserve it, don't deserve it. Debating private versus public, I mean, that's great to have a policy, a discussion like that, but I just think I would not want 10 random people who've never done my job talking about my job as if it's just something that they're arguing or power playing with each other. And I don't like that tension. I don't think it's fair to people to talk so disrespectful about something that is their livelihood, you know. And just along with that, I don't like when we over-question the staff on technical things that are probably over our purview in just the, I mean, if we're getting a technical report about the Geneva Generation facility, okay, let's talk about the budget, if it's working. I'm so fine with that, but when we start saying, where did you get that part? Did you think of this? Did you think of that? I just feel like if I were the staff, I'd be like, oh, really? I never thought of that. I mean, this is what they do. They have advanced degrees. They are the ones with the institutional knowledge, not us. So, of course they thought it. So why are we asking? Do we really think they didn't think of it? Or do we feel like saying that makes us like we're not rubber stamping, or we have our own thoughts. And if I'm part of this, I am sorry, because I don't like, I don't feel comfortable with the tone between each other, between us and the staff. And, you know, I, of course, did the research, you know, why resolving and preventing conflict between mayors and councils. And mostly it says people don't know their role. The council wants to boss the mayor, and we can't act, you know, we can't do anything. You know, the mayor actually has some power. We only have power when we're together as 10, and the other problem is the council want to either do the staff's job or tell them what to do, which actually it turns out unless we're all together, we can't tell the staff to do anything. So we should get along so we can know. So, but after I read all this, I thought, you know what, I don't even want all that. We need to get back to having a kindergarten teacher come and tell us. Just talk to people how you want to be talked to. Think about how your words impact. I mean, you know, maybe because I have kids in high school, but I feel like the way we talk to each other and the way we talk to the staff is just as damaging as some of the things we go home and tell our kids, don't you dare say that. Don't bully. Don't demean. Don't embarrass. What is your motive for saying that? And that is, I mean, that's what I think we should all say, ask ourselves, what's your point? So you say a joke to Piper, what's your point? Well, I just want to be funnier than you, okay? But if I say a joke to somebody that I'm not friends with, what is my point? Is it to embarrass them? So that's all I would like us all to ask. What's our point? Not you, Piper. I don't want to know your point.
Yeah, but it seems like a simple rule. We shouldn't talk to the staff the way the public talks to us. I mean, I've seen people, I'll never forget, I was in Detroit when that genius came up to the podium and said, why don't you people, did it ever occur to you to run the water department with fewer people? God, thanks for coming up to the podium. That never occurred to any of us. Yeah, we run it with three instead of five, Einstein. Thanks for swinging by. You know, I would agree. Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I would hope people don't talk to staff that way, but I've seen it happen, absolutely, and I hope I don't do it, but you're right. You're right, because I hate it, and it happens all the time, and every one of us has seen it. And it doesn't matter if you're in a restaurant, it doesn't matter if you're walking through City Hall or shopping or walking down the street, somebody will walk right up, and you are the dumbest person on the planet for whatever is written in the paper, whether it's written right or wrong, take your notes, don't chew your gum, write this down. So, you know, it happens, you know. And
we should encourage it to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, anyone in this city has the right to come up and ask any question they want, and there's no such thing as a silly question from a constituent.
No, and you're absolutely correct.
I represent citizens. Sometimes right. When I ask a question, it's a question that was asked of me, and I decided the answer should be heard on TV, even though I know the answer myself.
You're absolutely correct.
Discourage anyone, and let's try to give a civil answer, even though the question, it's sometimes very difficult to give.
And I'm glad you said that, because when the question comes when the question comes from the podium, it's completely different.
It's completely different when it comes from.
No. Let me finish. When the question comes from the podium, it's completely different when it comes from the dais. When that same question comes from the dais, that's where the frustration starts.
Why?
Why?
Well, let me tell you why.
Representing the citizens of my ward.
No. Let me tell you why.
It's
the way the question's asked. If that question gets asked from that podium, they do not have any of the information that we have. If that same condescending question comes from here, that's where the frustration starts in my mind. If that question gets asked from there, that person doesn't have any of that information, and we got to answer it. And you sit there and go, okay, he doesn't have any of this information. Let's give him that answer. But it gets asked from up here two, three, four times, and you start going, wait a minute. You know what? Come on. We've got all this information. We got to go through this. We got to do this dance again. Gets asked from there. They don't have that. We got to answer that. We're walking down the street. Got to answer that. You're 100% correct. I don't mind answering that. Because you know what? You answer that question. You give them the information, and they go, oh, you know what? That makes perfect sense. I love to answer the question on the water rate study, because that irate person that walks up, walks away with just what Sam explained tonight. Oh, it's $1.25. I can turn my water softener off. That happened to me, honest to God, last night. Was out putting chemicals in the pool. My neighbor said, what does that cost you a ton of money? Not in the least. The water's great. Can I turn my softener off? Yes, you can. You could have turned it off a year ago. Really? Yeah, absolutely.
I agreed asking questions three and four times, but as I say, the first time I ask a question, even though you and I both may know that the answer,
Listen.
I may be asking it on the behalf of a citizen. I will try to ask it as civilly as I can. Unfortunately, sometimes the questions are very hard to ask civilly because...
And I don't mean every question. Don't get me wrong, Chuck, and I'm not saying it's every single question, and most of us have asked them, and I'm as guilty as anybody else. 9 times out of 10, those questions are prefaced with, this may sound silly, or they're prefaced with, listen, for the people at home, I'm going to ask this. And I've heard you do that before. For everybody watching, I'm going to ask this question. So I think it's different. I think you know exactly what I'm talking about, too.
I just wanted to say that on our code of conduct, it says, practice civility and decorum in discussion and debate. And it also says, speak to the issues and avoid personal comments to other council members.
Okay.
And I think we're forgetting about that.
Yes, we do.
There is a fine line, however, and I'm interested to know how other people feel as well, that is it because we're elected officials, we have to behave at a higher level, a different level, or if when we're attacked, are we allowed to attack back?
Oh.
It's a tough call because, you know, we've all gotten emails. I know that the alderman from the first ward and the alderman from the fourth ward received an email just this week ago that was to staff, and the gentleman who sent the email called the staff blank, and then said to the staff, I pay your damn salaries. When you call me, you will refer to me as Mr. Now, I responded very civilly, but my Irish in me said, dear SO, you know what? I didn't. But doggone it, at what point do we say enough's enough? That's the hard part. That's what I struggle with sometimes. So,
but it's not drawing the line, and it's not stopping people from asking questions.
No.
It's just trying to be civil. Draw the line with decorum. I like what you said. Don't behave the way we're behaved too. If a constituent or somebody is rude to you, that's no reason for you to be rude back.
You try to,
and by saying that doesn't mean let's not ask questions. That's the other thing that I get frustrated by. By saying let's stop badgering, let's stop implying, and let's stop being sarcastic, I am not saying let's stop asking questions. Ask them, but ask them as if you're dealing with somebody who's a professional. Ask them as if you're dealing with somebody who's been appointed year after year after year unanimously. Ask them as if you're dealing with somebody you've been working side by side with for however many years. That's all I'm saying. Sorry.
And if we all reread Robert's Rules of Order, we'll notice that they are indeed, they're 90% of what they're supposed to do is make the meeting run civilly. We all speak to the chairman. We don't speak to each other. We address the issue, not the person, et cetera. And if the meeting falls apart, it's the chairman's fault. It's down there in black and white. Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
No, that's why I offered a motion to suspend the rules tonight. No, you're absolutely right, Chuck. You're right, because there's a fine line between.
And Mr. Pollack did it correct tonight when he asked you permission to speak to me.
Right, he asked the chair, exactly, Alderman Vogelsberg. But you're absolutely right. There's a fine line between facilitating the meeting and being perceived as not allowing anyone to speak. And we all know through history that we've been involved with organizations that it's a freaking free-for-all. And it's like, well, I don't want to be involved in this thing anymore. Nothing gets done. Everyone just, and my concern with the committee structure in the days of yore was, and I was on the Development Committee, Public Utilities Committee, and I think Public Safety Committee. We did sit around a table, and we did talk, and it was very personal. It was a bear for those who attended the meetings because we all sat around and said, well, I don't know. And no one could hear. No one quite understood where things were going. And because it was so personal, I think we forgot sometimes that we're also a formal body in some respect. And for the record, I attended almost 14 meetings a month while there was a committee structure. Now, thank God, I can attend four that I have to.
I sure have learned a lot in 9 years. It's about the amount of time I've been here. Yeah, lucky me. And it was all a mystery to me at the city council level because previous experience had been on the park board, and there were just six of us on the board and in a room, and we would encourage visitors and encourage their questions and answer them as best we could. At times, I think that people sitting in the audience at our meetings may have arrived and felt a little intimidated, but those who have overcome that, sometimes they'll go to the podium and ask questions, and we've experienced arguments with the people at the podium, and they finally, one or two people we know that used to come and ask some questions, and they no longer attends because I think his questions have been answered. But we've always, I think, attempted to keep it an open meeting, and I think that's very important. The mayor or the chairman of the meeting has always opened it up to the general public, whether it's a particular issue or a motion or at the end of the evening for new business. And those people who are still watching and listening should realize that we are an open organization. We want you to participate. We want to hear your questions. However, we don't want to hear you developing an attack, either via email or verbally, and then not listening to our or reading our responses, which I would hope would be civilized. Once or twice, it's tough to do that, but especially by email. And we do learn. I've learned not through the committee structure. I don't know if I could have survived three or meetings a week, or like 14 meetings, did you say, Mayor, or 18 meetings, was it, in 1 month you had?
Mayor exaggerated. Each alderman was on three committees plus two council meetings. They were typically five meetings a month.
The mayor did not exaggerate. There were two development committees per month. There were
not every month.
During the heydays of Geneva, it was a freaking disaster. And as you'll recall, the former mayor reappointed directors as he sees fit. So it was romp room on steroids.
I remember seven. I remember five meetings a month.
Well, anyway, I no longer travel. I'm retired and sometimes feel retarded, but only when I have an opportunity to ask questions. But I've learned several things, and that's to ask the staff questions. For those of whom on the staff you can catch on the phone, they'll answer, and if they don't happen to be available, they'll call you back. A week ago Friday, I had two members of the staff. Of course, where I live, it's just 5 minutes from Department of Public Works, which is their problem. But I had two the superintendents come over to my home. One I sat down with, we figured out my utility bill, and I found something that was kind of interesting and different and should have been on utility bills previously, but that's being corrected. And then another one took me out, Mr. Buffington took me out to show me what a recoupler is. And that was an eye-opener. Mr. Dinges has got the problem that I know when he will answer the phone and he's not in a meeting. It's about 5 after 7 a.m. So for those of you who are up and awake at that time and you have the courage to make the phone call and get through the ladies who answer and tell you if Mr. Dinges is there, you can get to him, and he's got all the answers for you. The other departments, I've called and asked questions or emailed, and they've been very cooperative. And I think this is what we need to do, is to communicate more with department heads, and when we know that there's somebody a little bit below that position, and that you won't irritate the department head, is maybe go directly to that person and via email, but be sure to copy the superintendent or the director of that department. So I think we need to be open with our department heads and some of their subordinates that we know we can talk to without causing any difficulties. I've also learned to overstep the boundaries once in a while, and I've been upbraided because of that. And it was a good lesson, and I'm not afraid to admit it. So we've got to be willing to take some criticism from senior staff members when they feel it is important. So I think if we stay open with everybody at every level. One of the guys who does snow plowing, he and I had a fun conversation over the weekend. And you get to know these guys. I've not had the opportunity to travel in the middle of the night with the fire department or the police department or the electric department. And that would be a good experience, but it might impose something on them during emergency situations that we'd have to be careful about. So, as I say, I've learned a lot in 9 years. I want to continue to learn for 2.5 more, and then let's see what happens. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Hey, Sam, I know you're a senior alderman to me, but I do. I know you, we have a generational difference, but here's a Facebook group you better join, which is against the use of the R word.
The R word.
They're not accepting it. I'll tell you later.
I have no idea what she's talking about. Mr. Mayor, I would just like to say a couple things.
Sure.
After last week, I would use the same word Craig did, frustrated, after leaving the meeting last week. I guess I asked a silly question because I got jumped on at that meeting, too. Mary was shaking her head at the same time as you were, kind of berating me, I would say. She was shaking her head yes, and which was, I thought, was a simple thing. My biggest problem is I don't get to look at the packets till Sunday. I'm trying to figure out how to do that. We don't get them till Thursday. I don't get to look at them till Sunday night. I'm not going to call anybody on Sunday. Monday's a tough day at work for me because I have a mandatory meeting for all my employees, so I have to be there, unfortunately. So it's a tough day. But I got the opinion when I left here that we didn't really seem to want to have questions after the meeting last week. And I understand surprises are one thing, but I don't think my question was that much of a surprise. But I also think surprises are kind of a two-way street. So when I get surprised with something, that sends to set me back too. I can point to one instance I remember specifically, which Mary won't be too happy about, but we were voting on the budget. And when she was making a presentation, she mentioned that there was on our desk a 2006 compensation agreement that I had never seen because I've only been on the board since, on the council since 2009. And I didn't get a chance to read it or never saw it before. So that was I was kind of caught by surprise as well. So I think it's a two-way street. As far as Alderman Singer said, Rich and I did attend the class that Mary had at Wabanti College. We enjoyed it. We learned a lot of different things. And when I left there, some wise woman told me to always vote my conscience. And that's what I've always tried to do since I've been here. Unfortunately, sometimes my conscience doesn't agree with yours. And I feel offended when you make your prepared statements almost berating the people that have a difference of opinion. And I don't think that's fair because everybody has to have their opinion. There's 11 of us, 10 of us and you. And we're entitled to our opinions. I haven't done that to anybody's opinion, I don't think, since I've been here. And if I have, I should be corrected for that. But I'm offended by that. And I can think of a few instances when that happened as well. So that's all I wanted to say for right now. Thank you.
Thank you. I accept the constructive criticism.
Let's face it, our meetings are not like they had down in, what was it, Oswego?
Yes, that's correct.
From the class. They turn into shouting matches every week.
Yeah, there's nothing. I don't think there's anything wrong with passion. And yeah, I'm the first one to admit I'm a passionate guy. There's no question about it. And I express my frustration in different ways. Absolutely. So
it's a big curve to learn. There's no question.
Sure.
I took the tour. I took the class. I still preface it. Sometimes it's stupid questions. I, as Mary will know, I always CC her on every email that I send any staff member. So that if I do think it's out of line, I'd hope she would stop the staff from having to go through a ton of work for something that can be easily asked. Now, I don't know if that's right or wrong, Mary, but that's what I do, and you do know that in most cases.
And I appreciate that, and I haven't.
I usually get the answer.
It's inappropriate, so I don't think that it has been.
And that's not something you asked me to do. I just thought that was the right way to go about it at that time, is because I figured if it was something that could easily be taken care of and the staff may go down the wrong road, she could at least stop it from, you know, having to happen that way. I mean, we're going to disagree, I think, when it comes to budgets and stuff. I think people have different opinions and different ideas. And I think some of our questions, and maybe some of mine are, is trying to understand how the staff arrived at their answer. I mean, they have 20 projects on their list. How did they get down to the three that they really did? They may see something totally different underneath that street than I see, you know? I mean, and it's an idea of how do we get there. And I mean, we've all worked with budgets before, and I mean, and sometimes it just comes to is that job may just be too big, and this one is the one we can do with the man hours in, and that's fine. Just let us know that that's what it is. I've never had a problem with staff, and I hope staff has never had a problem with me, and if they do, I hope they say so.
Mary, can I ask how you approach that in your course? Because there's a potential conflict there for aldermen going down the list of troops and talking to people in sub-managerial and positions. To me, that's problematic, and I would have a little problem with some of the things Alderman Hill said, just because I don't believe – I would not walk into a company and walk down onto the production line and expect that I would be allowed to talk to anyone. I think the company would grab me quickly and throw me out on my – and say, you talk to the management before you – so just how is a councilman, should a councilman? I've always tried to stay away from getting, quote, too friendly with staff members of the city because I believe it is a conflict. We are the board of directors, right, in some sense of this corporation. And as a board of director, I've been told that it's inappropriate for me to talk to staff members below the level of policymaking staff. And how do you handle that in your course? How do you treat that subject? Because it's a tricky, there's a double-edged sword there, for sure.
Well, let me say, first of all, that every organization is different. Even though they're municipal corporations, their structure is different formally and informally. So I would say the chief administrative officer should start with the mayor and talk to the mayor to find out what his or her preference is as far as the way that it's handled internally, which the mayor and I have discussed before and have reached agreement upon. And then subsequent to that, I've talked to my department heads and made sure that they are in agreement. And in this organization, what I believe works for us is efficient, good communication. And that is that I appreciate, as Alderman Marks does, being copied on questions that are going to staff. But my preference is if you get a request or an inquiry from a constituent, that you take it directly to the department head, or if it's all right with the department head, take it directly to the supervisor. That's efficient. That gets a response back to your constituent most efficiently. Taking it to me, to the department head, to the supervisor, really waste time. What I would prefer that the alderman not do is, number one, create work when there's no need for the information, if they're asking perhaps out of curiosity, or that they go to the line staff. If they go to the man or lady on the street and start directing them, because they probably have their log of work to do already that's been given to them by their supervisor. So if someone approaches them and says, hey, can you swing over and do this, it puts them in a very awkward position to try to choose what's the priority, what the alderman has given me or what my supervisor has given.
That's absolutely clear. We should never tell staff what to do. But what's not clear is whether we should ask them a question. If I see one of the staff members repairing a broken pipe, and, you know, how's it going? Good, beautiful day. Well, you know, but if I see something I want to question, I do not question that person. I would go to I would go to Dan. I don't think it's appropriate to be asking questions on the details of how a person's doing the work. That puts them in a bad position because they know that we talk on a personal basis with their boss and with their boss's boss. So asking them to actually answer a technical question, I think, is completely inappropriate.
I would say that put in context, if it's a simple question in a conversation in passing, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. But, yes, if you're asking for a technical explanation that's going to take away from what they're doing, then yes, that should be directed through their supervisor.
Or even put them in a position of answering a question that they're not exactly sure what the answer is.
Correct. That is correct.
Because they haven't been given the full story by their boss.
And the reason, part of the reason that I cleared it with the mayor and implemented this process is so that staff can understand what the priorities are through their supervisor, because those are the people that are at the end of the year conducting those performance evaluations, and they're looking at their job performance. You know, so those are the ones that they are accountable to, and so I think that that's appropriate. I think that it's respectful of the process, and I think that we've talked about it before, and that's what I've asked the alderman to do, if possible, to direct it to the department head, and if it's all right with the department head, go directly to the supervisor. But yes, would I like to be copied on those emails? Most certainly, so that I can be in the loop, because I'm the coordinator, and I need to know what's going on so that I can make sure that all of you know what's going on. And that's why you get a lot of FYIs, heads up, because I think that makes for better communication for everybody. So.
The silence surprises me. I'm kind of surprised by it. But
She's joking.
I'm giving him a hard time. I'm like, well, now I got to start doing that. Thanks you started, dude.
My questions are normally, I do go to the department head, and I do let Mary know that I ask him. But, you know, even when I see something that needs to be fixed, I don't go to the department head. I only always run that through Mary. Now, Mary, if you want me to go to the department head, that's fine. I mean, we've had streetlights and stuff, and I've always sent that. Or I've needed a contact information for you know, citizen who wanted to know who owned property. I've always run that past you. If you want me to run that past them and CC you, that's fine. I've always tried to run that past you. And
one thing that I would say, too, is that we have an online service request system.
Yeah.
That I would encourage the council to use, that it will be directed to the appropriate person. If you will fill out the form or direct your constituent to fill out the form for a streetlight, a pothole, checking a water leak, you know, or even information, that will get it to the right person most expediently and get the response back. So I would encourage you to use that system and to direct your constituents to that system.
Who does that go through? Who answers it? Who sees it first?
It depends on the subject. It's directed to the appropriate staff member depending on the subject.
Direct. Mm-hmm. Appropriate what department.
Well, and the appropriate person in the department.
What about a code enforcement situation? Do you still go to Jim Forney, or do you have to fill out an online form?
I suppose that you could do either, but again, that's going straight to line staff. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is going straight to line staff.
So it should be directed to Dick Unch? All violations should be, or any?
Well, Chuck Lencioni is his supervisor.
So I think it's do what we've been doing. I've heard a lot of discussion about the proper way to work with staff, and yet I don't recall a whole lot of complaints about the way we've been working with staff.
No, I don't think.
So I think we all know this already.
I thought I did too.
Me too.
I don't know if I know anything anymore. It sounds like it's a change.
Well, let me ask a question that perhaps we've intentionally avoided. Some would argue that our conduct at the televised council and committee meetings has become worse since the arrival of television. Yet I could argue that, having sat on this dais with others, it's really not as bad. It's just more magnified. True or false? I mean, I'm just throwing it out there for discussion.
Well, no, I think that television has a tendency for us to act differently. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
And I think people watch it because it's a sick reality show.
Right.
I bet way more people watch this than the school board, which is completely 100% controlled. But this is, people don't say, I watch it because it's so awesome and I like to know what's going on in the city. So my father-in-law tells me that. And, you know, it's so interesting to be involved. No, people are like, what's going to happen next? Is Mr. So-and-so from the audience going to come? Is somebody, two council members going to fight? Like, it's when people tell me they watch it, I feel embarrassed.
And they usually watch it in the middle of the night when they have nothing else to do and there's
I would hope they're not scheduling their day around.
No, they're not scheduling. At least not the ones that I've encountered. They're not watching.
Because they're interested, and I just can't. I cannot take comments like that. There are a lot of people that watch it because they are actually interested in what's going on in the city. Please, we're making jokes where it's not appropriate.
I'm sure it's half and half.
I don't think it's television. I honestly think that it's because our jobs are harder. When I joined the council and the city was growing by leaps and bounds, it was almost too easy. But now we have to make hard decisions. We have to make decisions about, do I pass on $1.25 water rate increase to a guy who's out of work, yeah, or do I risk the reserve dropping into the negatives in the water fund? These are not easy issues to deal with, and they're very emotional, because when we leave the doors, we get cornered,
questioned, you're gonna run into that guy,
or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what's making it more difficult or tense. But the thing is, that's what we're here for. We're here to make hard decisions and try to remember that we've set a direction, a policy direction, and we have to weather the occasional storm here and there. And I do hope that the economic situation is an occasional storm, because if it's a permanent situation, I'm going to be really depressed. So I think that I think television is the height of transparency, and maybe it leads some people to grandstand. I get comments that, like, I'm a really smart guy because I sit here and don't say much. I just, But I think it's because it's a lot harder the last couple of years than it has ever been before, at least since 96.
Well, we made a lot of policy when things were really good. It was easy.
Well, but the thing about policy is it's saying,
now we got to stick to it.
Right. This is where we want to go. This is where we want to get. And we're not going to get there in one big leap. We have to go. It's a journey. And sometimes there's potholes, but Dan's here, so that's a bad analogy. Sometimes it gets rough.
Yeah.
And you don't just chuck your policy and say, forget it, and I'm going to enact a new direction now, because then as an organization, you're going all over.
Yeah, now we've got to weather it.
You're being driven by circumstances instead of being driven by your goals and objectives.
Agreed.
Does anybody object to my unilateral decision to turn off the internet while the meetings are being conducted?
Only if other people don't use BlackBerries and text.
And that was my next question. I think we should all either turn off our phones or turn in our phones before the meeting. Because I know for a fact there have been people who have been instant messaging, receiving emails from whomever, texting, what have you. And it's not fair to anybody, particularly those at the podium. But, if our good friend, the IT manager who controls the cameras, wanted to have his field day, he could simply put these cameras behind me or anybody else and see exactly what the hell we're looking at. And that's why I was turned off. So
I think
invite him to do that.
All kidding aside, so my inclination to look at MLB.com aside, I do look up issues and things like that. We've had some people here, like when the Mental Health Board is giving out checks. I'm looking into what those organizations do. I told you before, I'm looking up the words you use half the time.
Well, it's because you're a sycophant.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, yeah. He had to throw the multisyllabic words.
As long as Pete tells my wife when to put that pizza in, I'm good.
That's nice, Bob.
I like having the code. I like having city code sit right there.
Yeah.
Because we can look things up.
Congress still has pages so that Congress members can
exchange
notes between each other, which we do occasionally.
Sure.
They still have them, even though I have noticed on C-SPAN that congressmen are now texting and Twittering. But the point is, yes, we are allowed to communicate with each other during a meeting. That does not violate Robert's Rules of Order in any way at all. We can pass notes. We can text to each other if we so wish. If we had a page, we could have the page take the notes back and forth. That does not violate the spirit of the meeting at all.
I didn't say it did. I just think we border on the uninterested when we're not focused our attention on those making the presentation. That's all.
But I will say, I have had a few times where citizens have emailed questions during those meetings.
Sure.
And other, not family, I'm saying people who are out there.
No,
realistically, that have
I have had a few of those that come.
And we should have a suggestion. Maybe we can take a call or two or an email or two from people on the other side of the tube that wants to have a question.
Nah, this isn't open.
So you always want to be right where you have
Kevin. Hey, you know, I mean,
now's your chance. Take it from
the audience.
It was
just a...
Let them show up. They can show up. They can drive here.
We'd be here all night.
The question from the resident is going to get asked sooner or later.
It's
exactly.
Going to get answered sooner or later. You're right.
It is, because if I don't answer it here, I answer it there.
But if we're, but if we're having a...
Am I unfair in assuming that...
If anyone has questions, they should bring a flower, see?
This is my attempt to facilitate discussion, because what strikes me as unusual is there are some people who haven't said a damn word tonight. But am I not reading this committee and this council correctly, that there are some among us who don't trust the staff?
Don't trust the what?
Staff.
Am I interpreting questions and comments that are presented to staff at a public meeting that I shouldn't be interpreting that way? Is there a mutual respect?
I can say I have never questioned. I mean, I do not have a disrespect for staff. I mean, I may sometimes, and I've prefaced it, this is the new kids on the block's question. I mean, realistically, I mean, I think there's a lot that goes into their decisions that we don't know, and sometimes we have to try to figure out how they got to the point that they were. And with some staff, I think that may take a little bit more work than with others, and that's fine. I mean, not everybody's in front of the camera. I mean, I sat out in that audience for over 2 years. I never came to the podium, I think once out of those 2 years. I mean, you know, it's a little scary to come up to that point, and I can understand that from staff also. You know, again, I do try to get the majority of my questions out to them ahead of time. And I've told them before, they do not need to answer me on a Sunday afternoon with those questions. That's when I do get to those packets, realistically. But as questions come up, I think my questions more is I'd like to see how they got to that decision to make sure that it's a decision I'm comfortable with.
So like the math teacher, don't show me the answer, show me the work that got to the answer.
I like to see the work that got there, but you've got to do it in a small period of time. Right. Otherwise, these meetings could go on forever. And maybe I'm wrong doing that. I don't know.
I don't think.
And if I've ever been discourteous to a staff, I hope someone does take me behind the woodshed and pay. But I have really, seriously, have always tried to be.
Just respond.
Mary wants to add.
Yeah, Mary.
Just chime in.
That's fine.
The only thing that I would say is much of the conclusion that staff comes to is developed over a period of time through staff meetings. I know that's very general, but there's discussions held in staff meetings, and more times than not, there's multiple meetings. So beyond that, it would be very hard to duplicate those conversations. There are some notes occasionally taken, development staff meeting, for staff's development meeting, for example, but otherwise, there really aren't minutes taken at most of the meetings. So other than to say we talked about it at staff meetings, I don't know how to give you that background unless you ask a specific question about a specific project.
Correct.
You know, and why this conclusion was reached as opposed to something else, then obviously.
I've
had this conversation.
Yeah,
and I know
I've
talked
to through my head, and if I may. You know, when it comes down to if Dan goes from 9 parking lots to 4, and he says, these are the ones that are in my budget, these are the 4 main ones, I've never built a parking lot.
Yep.
But if Dan says, these are the 4 that are in my budget, and here's the 4 that we can do, I trust Dan enough that I don't need to know how he got there or why he got there or why he. Dan's built enough parking lots, I trust him enough that these are the ones we got to do, these are the ones that fall in the budget. If there was something skeevy about that or he was doing some weird things, then I would want a complete breakdown. But he's done enough projects and has enough, you know, I have enough trust in what he's done over the years.
You've been on the other end of my phone call.
Absolutely.
When I've had a concern. I've called Bob.
And, you know, I don't think it's about the questions. I mean, I might have made light of the TV and the impact it's had in the drama. But that's because I just said I don't like tension. I don't like a lot of and that's what I feel like we're skirting around, and that's why I'm trying to make jokes, because I don't think anyone would ever say that we can't ask questions of each other, of the staff. How did you get here? What made you think this? Just what you said. Show your work. I think what the problem, and
I think many of us feel that a problem is the tone, the way it's asked. You can ask, Don, did you copy Mary McKittrick when you asked that? Or you can say, did you copy her this time? Did you? I mean, that's the same question, but it's implying that one is asking the question to gather information, and one is implying I'm an idiot. And that is what I think. All the information gathering questions are perfect. I don't see a problem with it. But when there's an implication either to make someone look bad or I mean, if somebody's going to ask a question and everyone in the audience knows what it is going to be before they say it, then it's probably too curt. It's probably too rote. So it's not about information gathering questions. It is about disrespecting people in the way they ask them. And I think that I would like to see it stop if I'm part of it. I know I make sarcastic, funny comments because, as my kids would say, I'm not funny. But I'm just trying to break the tension. I am not trying to disrespect anyone. That's why I picked the biggest guy in the room. So he's just asking for it. Right. But anyhow, so that's the one thing I would really like to see come out of this conversation is a little bit more mutual respect. And like I said, when we ask a question, what is our point?
I think that maybe, again, going back to times are tougher and our job became harder, I think that maybe some people are trying to show that we are sharpening our pencil, that we're taking a harder line on these things than we formerly did. And that's probably understandable. The problem comes in when you imply that because you didn't competitively bid, to pick on Ray for a second, that somehow you're dishonest or that somehow you've done a disservice to the community. I'll use some of the tweaking or teasing that Alderman Dakota used to do, because I don't think anybody in this room could question his character or his intent or anything else. But there were times when I saw him go cross a line and staff just shut down. It was clear that you were not going to be able to provide an answer that would be seen as satisfactory. In other words, you didn't know what you were talking about. So in trying to take a hard line, we sometimes cross a line and badger the staff and belittle the staff. And that's where I think the problem comes.
Anyone in the audience? I mean, anything at all? It's a free flow discussion. I know it's late, but I've got no life. And as you all know, I don't sleep. So.
5 a.m.
It's all good.
You know, Mayor, I think what you're seeing, and I've been thinking about this, is I think you've almost seen. And maybe this is the roughest way to say it, but I think you have some people who want to be all the way in the details, and you have some that just want to read the briefing.
Sure.
And nothing more. And I think that has probably come with newer people coming on the council. That's probably exasperated that situation probably more than anything, with some wanting to delve in and try to understand. Like Bob's told me, you can't change the world, Rich. I mean, you just got to. You tried when you first came on the council. And, I mean, I've talked to Bob. I've talked to Craig. I've talked to most people on the council. And I think that's what's happening is we have two different ends of the spectrum, and we've got to figure out where the middle is, where everybody's happiest. And I don't think we've worked that out yet.
I respect that. And certainly my own personal frustration is not with, the rookies, if you will. My God, I can remember the very first question I ever asked on the city council, and that was of Dick Unch, I believe. Or actually, it may have been your predecessor. I asked, what's a foot candle? And what the hell? I had no clue. And I remember whoever it was rolled their eyes going, who the hell would vote for this guy?
That's when you email Mary that question.
Like, that was before the computer?
It was before computers, for God's sake.
You can ask that. Mary, didn't I email you this week? What's a B3?
We had Etch-a-Sketches back then. We had Etch-a-Sketches.
And that's funny because I always – from Plan Commission, I started by always calling the staff or emailing them. So I did not reveal what an idiot I was publicly. So that is how I started, like when we did all that teardown infill and all the math and the FAR, and it was like a different language. And I didn't want everyone to know how difficult I found it. And that's why I started calling the staff outside of the meeting.
I do sense, though, and I'm not certain we've addressed it tonight, but I do sense that there is a small but perhaps growing chasm amongst those who believe things are going well and those who believe things are somehow stilted because of, A, my leadership style or management style, B, that some people like to play gotcha Q&A from the dais. And I certainly don't mean to be antagonistic, but obviously one of the reasons we're here tonight is because of my and Alderman Pawlak and Alderman Dantino's situation last week, and the only person we haven't heard from yet is Mr. Pawlak. So I invite you to participate in the conversation.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to sit and listen, take it all in, and if I have anything to say, I'm certainly not going to say it to you in public, but I will say it in private.
Fair enough. It's really not the purpose of the meeting, but I respect that. So.
I don't think the city's broken, but I think we can always strive.
Oh, absolutely.
Better.
I agree.
And I think that's part of our job here is to hope that we can help them push it in the right way. We may disagree with how that is. I mean, I think we all knew looking at the development plan tonight, the way that's drawn out, it's not going to work, Bob. You were right. I mean, but we don't have the answer. But we at least forced them back to go to the table and look at it. And when all said and done, we really dumped it right back in the staff's lap, realistically. They're the ones who are going to issue the permit. They're the ones who are going to have to feel comfortable with it. Oh. And, you know, in a way, we kind of open them up for disagreement. I mean, if we don't like what they come up with,
right.
You know, we're the backseat quarterbacks on Monday morning that can question everything and, you know, why didn't you think about this? But realistically, I think staff does do a good job. I'm not saying that they don't do a good job. But, you know, again, you know, I think sometimes I don't want to say gotcha, but I'd like to make sure. You know, everybody saw the questions I asked of Mr. Buffington, and I tossed some ideas out there this week. I didn't think they belonged in the public eye, but I think they at least deserve some type of answer. And I don't have a problem when I send out those questions that they get, you know, the answers get copied to every alderman. I don't feel that's bad at all. I think it may help us do it. I mean, the problem is some of those questions we probably ask, we get the answers to, and then the citizens still have them, and they haven't had a chance to see them because I think the majority of those questions were answered with all the emails that went back and forth, and that's the part that the citizens do not realize,
sure.
That there is a flurry of phone calls and emails that go back and forth, and then that packet comes out. I mean, I do admit we get a packet on Thursday night for Monday, and the staff may have been working on a project for 3 months before we see it. I mean, Mary, the budget, what did you have, over 40 meetings, and we had 4 days to swallow it, to come up with it. That's a lot to have happen for us. You know, Mary, I ended up meeting with you on the budget, on the side. I mean, and I have not had a problem. I haven't had to do that with any other, or have had the opportunity to do it with any other department head, but I don't feel, I mean, I think Chief Olson, I've worked with you at Tri-City Ambulance, but I mean, I've had my tour of all the complexes. I've sat down with the majority of the department heads, but I don't understand how this whole city works yet. If I did, and if I said I did, you guys could all call me a liar. I have no clue how this whole thing works. I mean, am I focused in on one area? Yeah, I focus more in dollars and cents, and there's no question that's my background. I mean, you know, and that's where I really dig into things. I mean, I don't understand engineering. I mean, the poor police chief knows. I wrote him an email to explain misdemeanors, felonies, you know, what level is what. I mean, I've done that. I mean, and it's not the only one. Mary,
which ones did you commit?
Yeah.
No felonies because I stole my CPA license. I mean, Mary got it today. What's an E3 and what's a B, you know, B liquor license? Refresh
and
my memory.
And she shared it.
Well, that's so, fine. Right? And you know what? Maybe we all didn't know it. I mean, I don't sit here to claim to know everything.
Right, but we have to be careful. Again, you're going on about the questions. It's not that people have questions. That's not
it's
the
just
issue.
The way we're asking.
Right. It's the way we treat each other and the way we treat staff that's at issue.
The fact that you have questions is good, and the fact that you talk to whomever to get answers to them is part of the job.
And I hope that the way I vote or the way anybody votes is their conscience. And right. Given the information, I'm sure that if everybody in this room read the packet or a story, they could tell it in a different fashion. Mm-hmm. They view it totally different. And sometimes the way I view it could be different than my colleagues on the other side of the aisle. So there's nothing personal. It's strictly what I read and how I interpret it and how I feel, and maybe that's the problem, feeling, but the way I feel about an issue being presented, that I can disagree with that. So.
I think disagreement is healthy, and I think we just have to be able to understand that we're going to disagree.
And sometimes in disagreements, you find out that you're not necessarily right either. You know, I mean, both sides can give their opinions, and sometimes very helpful.
And I think, too, just what you said about looking the way, thought you were pointing to someone. I thought you were pointing. It's her turn now. I want to head it again. I think you and I, we interpret all the data in the world exactly opposite, because I could not care less about numbers. I am way more a people person. You want to get in the details. I want to just skip over the top and get to the bottom line. How's it going to happen? But it's good, because listening to your questions, or like when we all get copied on the answers, you ask questions I didn't even think to ask. So that's good. So you're helping me get more detail oriented, and you know my goal is to get you a little bit more like bottom lining it, or just you know we're not all numbers. Sometimes a number represents a person. So, but I think that's good to have all that, because like somebody said, we're a cross section of the city. Of course, we're not all going to be the same, and that's good.
We're an operation, so you guys. So we're a mix of the numbers, but numbers alone don't drive a business or an organization. It's the financial assets, the human assets, and the physical assets. And we need to focus on all of them. If we focus too exclusively on any one, we're making a mistake.
And if all the cards, if you were playing poker, if all the cards were the same, you wouldn't win. You would win with a full house. Or which one is the one that's the highest? Help me.
Royal flush.
Right.
Oh, look, Mary has her hands up.
I just wanted to respond to something that
Alderman
Marks said.
I don't play poker.
I just wanted to respond to Alderman Marks. First of all, yes, you're right. We went through over 40 budget meetings, but the budgets that you saw didn't get finished until hours before they went into the packet, because we were working on them constantly. So there was no product until you saw the product. And I did offer, and I came in on a Saturday, and I sat here all day Saturday working, and I offered for anybody to call me or come in to go line by line through all 30 budgets.
And so who wouldn't take that off?
I don't know. I don't know. It was pretty exciting to me.
Oh, of course you did.
As you should, since the budget is the most important policy document we consider
all
year. It's not a checkbook. It has nothing to do with money. The budget is a policy document.
Mm-hmm.
As you rightly point out, it changes during the year.
Yes. And the other point that I wanted to make out, and I hope that this is agreeable to everyone, I have directed staff that when they receive a question from an alderman, that the response goes back to all of the aldermen to share the information. Because I think it's beneficial, because if one person has a question, chances are at least one other person will have the same question. So hopefully that's all right, because they've been directed to ask to do that. So that's why you're getting those emails.
Director Unch?
Yeah, I just had a quick thought, just listening to the conversation.
Just take your name and address for the record.
Yeah.
He's a detailed member person. You're your wife.
I know. There are many times when questions come up in committee meetings or city council meetings, and I certainly can't be the judge of when a question is appropriately asked in this form or or asked in a one-on-one basis, either at my office or over the phone or email or whatever. But I can tell you that as staff, we spend a lot of time and invest a lot of effort in writing recommendations up and reports that specifically are intended to be teachable moments, an opportunity to lay out the recommendation and the reason why we're recommending. And I emphasize that with Carla and David that work under me that generate a lot of this memoranda that you see. So we're trying to impart information. There are times when questions come up kind of on the fly on a Monday night where, as a staff person, I ask myself, well, gosh, why didn't we have that question earlier? And I realize that you folks have a limited amount of time to digest the packet, you know, 100-plus pages of material typically every meeting. But if there's an opportunity, even if it's an hour before the meeting, sometimes I feel like I could be more productive in giving you the answers you need and in responding to the questions in a more complete way if I had a heads up. Sometimes the question is best asked, as Alderman Brown mentioned, in the public forum, in the full light of day. But I think sometimes questions come up that may require some more research, might require digging into a file from 2005. It could be looking up a code requirement. It could be a lot of different things. And so without going on, it's late, but to the extent that we can operate in a way where if you've got a question on your mind and you know that question on a Friday night, or even on a weekend, as far as I'm concerned, I don't mind answering the phone on the weekend. But on Monday morning or Monday afternoon, I really appreciate the questions coming at that time, because then I've got, even if it's at the end of the day, I've got between 5 and 7 o'clock. I'm here usually most of the time. And I'll work on getting the answer. And sometimes that extra time really helps me. I don't know about the rest of staff, but when we do have a chance to answer questions that way, sometimes we can give you better information.
I think you raise a good point. If we don't have to call you on a Sunday. We can email you on a Sunday. You can see the question Monday morning at 7:05 and have an answer for us at 7 o'clock that night. You've got a head start. The second point is, I got a little uncomfortable when you were saying I don't know when is an appropriate time to ask a question. It's always appropriate to ask a question, period.
Sure. Oh,
there's
sure.
more productive ways to ask the question, and there's more productive timing. But if you got a question even during your presentations, it's appropriate to ask.
Oh, it's totally appropriate. I'm just saying that I'm here to serve you folks. And so if I've got more time to do the research to get you the best answer, I'd much rather do it that way than be reacting on the fly.
Right.
And just for correction purposes, Director Runch and the other department directors and the line staff, as we so affectionately have called them, aren't here to serve the city council. You're here to serve the citizens of Geneva.
Absolutely.
And we together are supposed to allegedly serve
sure.
them both.
Yeah.
Again, not that we won't have disagreements or even complete policy.
But
whatever.
It shouldn't. But staff should be able to say that they don't have the information
oh,
and
absolutely.
They get back to us. I mean, I think
enough.
That's a fair.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, I would accept that.
Yeah,
I
it's the best answer say, to give sometimes. What the heck?
But if, I mean, you know,
absolutely.
Dorothy, if I could just comment on that, if we can get the question ahead of time, then we can provide it not only to all of council, but we can provide it to the audience. By asking, for example, a city council meeting, and you ask a question and staff doesn't know, chances are next week on the Committee of the Whole, that item is not going to be on there. So you may get the answer, but the audience won't get the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So by getting the question to us ahead of time and then asking it at that meeting, you, all of the council, the audience, the viewing audience, everyone gets the answer.
Sometimes it comes. Sometimes it comes out of the presentation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And in those cases, you.
Yes.
I mean, I. But in the other cases, I agree with you. If I can
we can formulate these questions beforehand, I think it serves everybody well.
Right. And like tonight, Dick, it worked out real well, sent a real clear message by you answering questions on the fly to a group that got a real clear message from the council that, hey, great, you can go back, but you've got a lot of work to do to get it through this room. And all the staff got to get up and speak, and you made perfectly clear what your thoughts were and straightened out the things that they were trying to kind of whiz past us. So that was very, very well done and very well appreciated.
Mr. Mayor, there are times at which I become somewhat frustrated to the extent that when issues have come before me and I've sought resolutions for those issues to, in a sense, appease a constituent, and a constituent comes back and says to me, well, there hasn't been a follow-up on this, and there has been no resolution to this issue. Mm-hmm. And I would then say to them, well, I have made the proper request for this to be resolved. And they say, well, they're not doing their job, and you're not doing your job. And then I become, and you, it's like thin line that you had referred to earlier as to just, you know, how do you handle that that kind of a response? And then do you then go back to the individual that you made the original request to and say, hey, there's something wrong here in a matter of communication because this isn't being resolved? And does that frustrate me? Yes, it does, because I don't like to do that in the sense because they think I'm intimidating them in some way, mm-hmm, or forcing them to take action, which possibly they can't maybe at that time do so. I don't know how, and I don't know how to be able to respond to that. Are there any suggestions from my colleagues? Have you run into those situations? You must have.
I think the best people to respond are probably the directors or department heads. I mean, Mary, I'm sure you'd have a thought on that.
Well, I would just say that I'm assuming that you're talking to a supervisor or department head.
Correct.
About an issue. I would go back to that supervisor or department head, and if you don't get resolution that you're looking for, then go right up the chain. And if you're not getting a response from the supervisor, go to the department head. If you're not getting a response from the department head, come to me.
But see, my concern is that that department head feels as though they're being intimidated by me, and I don't feel comfortable with that.
Going over their head, maybe.
Yes.
I think our department heads and all of our staff should be diplomatically and delicately instructed by either Mrs. McKittrick or perhaps the City Council in some sort of policy action that their job performance is to be conducted within the ramparts provided by their supervisors and this council in terms of goals and objectives, and that they should not be under any circumstances required to do anything special. They should not be subject to unusual or perhaps unfair questioning by a council member, that they should also be comfortable in advising their supervisors that, hey, listen, I was approached by Alderman Smith, and I'm uncomfortable about this. Supervisor can come to Mrs. McKittrick. Mrs. McKittrick can say to the alderperson or myself, say, you're out of line. And believe it or not, that's happened before. We know that's happened before. Because unfortunately, I think some of our professional staff are in some respects or believed to be in some respect beholden to whatever request an elected official makes. Mm-hmm. And that shouldn't be the case.
No, it shouldn't.
It shouldn't be the case, you know. It's a bummer sometimes. So, nor should they be subjected to questions that are personal in nature, private in nature, perceived to be intimidating, hostile, or, God forbid, subjects the city to any sort of financial crisis in the future.
But we should be able to drive a police car whenever we want.
Absolutely. We should be able to drive a cop car. No, Chief?
Just one.
Forget to do anything fun.
Mr. Mayor, I would just ask that if anyone has a concern or a question about protocol, please email me, stop in, call, office phone, cell phone. You all have that at any time. I'm happy to facilitate. If it's a constituent request that you're referring on, you know, we understand that constituent is waiting for a response, too, and there's nothing wrong with asking and following up on that. And I know that our department heads feel the same way. I know that they would not want you to not have a response from any of their staff. So there's nothing wrong with following up with them.
See, too, what somewhat aggravates me is because of the response is one in which the constituent has a sense of nepotism and they begin resentment towards the staff or the department that is supposed to perform that function, and then become resentful towards me as well because they don't think I'm responding to them in the proper manner.
Well,
which I am. I'm trying to do what I can do.
And they may not like the response they get.
No.
They may want staff to do something that's outside of our budget, our authority.
Yes, oftentimes.
So they may not like the response, but I'm not aware that in any time that staff is not responding, period.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a suggestion possibly, if this is possible, but in November, we met at the West Chicago, DuPage Airport, I guess it was. And I looked at that as more of a meeting to go over our 10-year goals and objectives. I think that's about when you start your budget process, Marion. I had about the most trouble with the budget this year because I was the only dissenting vote, obviously. But I think that's a good time for you to, and I did kind of hear it come up in our presentations that we kind of talked about the budget at that thing. Pardon me, but I don't think we did. But I think you mentioned about pay raise and all. That discussion in my mind never took place in November, but be that it may, is maybe this November, maybe you can give us some outline or guidelines of what you're going to do with next year's budget, what you project the income to be, where the income's coming from, so that we could give you our thoughts on it.
I won't have that information. I don't get the IML, Illinois Municipal League, projections until February or March. And until then, I'm looking at trend data, and I'm happy to discuss it. But until we get looking at anticipated expenditures, which we're looking at in January or February, where we say, okay, this is what we think that we're going to spend on each and every line item, and until I get those projections from IML, until I see what the legislation is pending, may be doing or may not be doing to our budget, I don't have that information in November to provide to you. What I do provide is a monthly financial report, which shows you where we're at every, it's a picture every month for every department account or every department budget. So as we're going along, you have a cumulative record and report of what our budget looks like for the current year. And depending on the goals that the council sets, combined with that information, combined with future information that I'll be getting from the Illinois Municipal League, we put it together. But as I mentioned to Alderman Marks, it's a work in progress. And every time we have one of those 40 meetings, the budget changes on a day-to-day basis. I mean, we were working on that every single day with new information and changing information.
But on the other hand, that meeting in November, which I'm just really starting to figure out, is not like – I always thought it was like what we wanted, the vision, pie in the sky. But this year I said, oh, let's take that off the budget. And you said it was the number two priority that you guys set. So I thought, wow, we got to really watch what we vote for.
Well, maybe we should postpone –
in November, because it will come back.
Maybe we should postpone our meeting from November to February. Just a suggestion again. I mean, you know, after we know the exact dollars, then we have to figure out how we want to spend them.
We don't have time to wait until February for the council because we've got a lot of research to do on those goals and the price tags attached, plus operation, plus the end of the year reserves that we might have to put toward that.
It's a five-month
I just feel that having
where we work on
so much time involved.
We work on the budget daily for 5 months.
I just hate to have goals that we can't really fulfill, even in a one-year or two-year short span of time. I don't know how many years I've been doing the wish lists, and, you know, we do this long-range planning, but yet we don't do a short-range planning, apparently.
Well, every year is the short-range, that you pick out the priorities. That's the short-range.
We pick a heck of a lot of priorities.
I think you're confusing the policy with the detail.
Maybe
November,
I am.
We meet to set policy. Mary tries to encapsulate that in the budget, and then we get a chance to look at the budget, which is the encapsulation of the policy that we decided in the numbers, and then we have to look at it again. But you have to give Mary a start. We have to give Mary a starting point. The part of the problem I have, of course, and as a matter of fact, I can bring it up now, it's a problem I had with this beautiful document we had describing the city in the last year. The three biggest departments in our city, the fire department, the police department, the public works department, were the last three departments mentioned, had the three smallest descriptions in that document. They account for over 80% of our budget. We also spend only a few minutes of them at that meeting in November. And so I have a little problem with the fact that I feel that when I first joined this council for the first many years, I understood in detail the police budget, the fire department budget, the public works budget, 80% of our total monies we spend each year. And I'm feeling I'm understanding that less and less in the priorities in those departments and what's happening. And so that's one thing I would hope we would do in the November meeting is spend not so much time on the smallest item in the budgets and a lot more time on some of the larger items. And again, when it comes to describing what the city does to the people that live in the city, people in the city don't understand, I believe, that we spend a third of our budget on the police department and a quarter of our budget on the fire department and a fifth of our budget on public works. That's over 80% total. And so I get a feeling that I don't really have a complete handle on. We spend much too much time on the small items and not enough time on what really are the policy items. Where is it that this city is putting its money? Where are we spending our time? Where are we spending our efforts? And where do the tax monies in the city going to? And that's the thing I think, and I would have hoped that in the city document we had emphasized a little more. I could have appreciated, and maybe next year we can do it, put a pie chart right up near the front so people can see this is where your money is going. Because reading that whole document, I didn't really get a feel for, there was a lot of things in there that I know were $1,000 departments that had a whole page, and there was a lot of things in there that are $20 million departments that had a paragraph. Somehow, I after reading it, it didn't quite jive with what I know it really takes to run the city. So maybe we can think about that a little more next year and spend a little bit more time. I always worry in those November meetings that we tend to give very short shrift to the police department, the fire department, and the public works department. Thank you. Yeah. Some of us have to get up tomorrow.
Yeah, not me, man. Life is good.
It's a fan.
Yeah, I've got an early golf date.
Singer, I've seen you play golf. It's not going to help you get me.
I know that.
Is there anything else anyone wants to comment on?
I guess I don't feel so bad then hearing that Alderman Brown's still having trouble with the budget that after 90 years on the city council.
Oh, that's Chuck Radovich.
The Radovich family. I would like to see more of that information as well in November rather than talking about some of the things that take less of our budget. And I guess I didn't realize going into that meeting what it was about, but I never correlated it to a budget meeting whatsoever. And I learned something, I guess, tonight. But I would like to see more time spent on some of those things. And I would also like to see, you know, if it is too early in November, maybe we need another meeting in the middle of the budget to somehow know what your ideas are at that point or something,
sure.
What information we have to that point, rather than giving us 2 or 3 or 4 weeks to just digest it all and then go through all these surprises that we seem to have those nights. Thank you.
No, I didn't do anything.
Is there any topic that we have not addressed either by design or accidents? Have we danced around any issues that we should be dancing with?
Are we going to turn the Wi-Fi back on?
It's all your fault, Marks. You and your pro wrestling, you wanted to watch who the hell's doing what.
At least they only saw the pro wrestling.
I think it's a matter of trust. If we can trust each other to, quote, behave, as Alderman Vogelsberg said, like the adults we purport to be, then, yeah, it's, life is good. But I know for a fact when people are checking MLB, people are checking other sections, and it's not you folks who told me this. It's folks who are watching at home and caught the glimpse of someone else's screen. That's kind of a bummer. So, yeah.
You never even dawned on me to do that.
Somebody on that side of the council.
Because we're clean over here.
That's right.
We are.
One of these five. Piper. No, it's not Piper. I'm just kidding. So, if there's nothing else, I'll, again, last chance anyone wishes to comment about anything.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Seconded by Hill. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Microphones are off.